Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Tuesday, June the 5th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And Wendy, I've actually started a new thing that I'm going to try to add at the top of the show when I do the introduction. So the new thing is we just want to let our listeners know how much we appreciate them. Because I was thinking about that, you know, kind of over the weekend and in the last couple of days that I was thinking about it actually in relation to a business client of mine who I do some consulting with. And as I was thinking about his situation, I realized that he needed to do more to appreciate his employees. And I thought, you know what, we need to appreciate our listeners more because, I mean, our listeners are fantastic. Just from, you know, the contacts we have from people who have phoned in and talked to us or people who've sent us emails. I mean, clearly we have some people who have a good understanding of how the law of attraction works. I mean, varying degrees, of course, but still, for the most part, they have a pretty good idea of it, who are doing really interesting things with their lives, interesting things that they're trying to leverage LOA for. I mean, it's not just the usual typical things that like most coaches deal with or whatever. We've got people who have a wide range of interests and things that appeal to them that, and then the one thing they have in common is that they're all into the law of attraction and they're listening to us and they're listening to like 30 to 45 episodes a month. I mean, the loyalty is fantastic. So I'm just going to make it a point from now on to say, I really appreciate you guys. I think you guys are wonderful.
Hey, and Walt, how many people have said, hey, Walt, we appreciate you.
Oh,
you host this, you make this happen, you handle all the technical things that are going on in the background, and I appreciate you, and I can imagine our listeners appreciate you for all you do as well.
Well, thank you. I do get some really good feedback from you and the other co-hosts, and you know that does make it a lot easier for sure to have that kind of support because I know you guys have my back, and I try to have your back, and it's great. You know, but thank you. I do appreciate that a lot. But I definitely want to make it a point going forward. I mean, I'm not sure exactly what to do. I want to make your daily dose of happy even more than what it is so far, which is really good. I want to find, I don't know how to do this. Maybe you have an idea on this. I want to try to find a way to help listeners by, you know, just giving them good feedback over the phone, not feedback, but giving them good stuff. Like, you know, we believe in you. We support you. You know, your dreams are going to come true. Just positive reinforcements of various kinds. And I like I said, I don't really have a clear picture on how to do this, but that's my goal. That's where I want to get to because our listeners are fabulous. They're just great. Maybe I'm biased. I don't know.
I do agree. Our listeners are awesome. I'm not quite sure what to do with that, but let's just kind of, you've put that out there, and let's just see how law of attraction responds to it.
I think something's going to come. You know, one of us is going to get an insight or something, and it's just going to lead, you know, one thing to the next because it's that important to me. And I think it's important to all of us, too. So that's a good thing. But as I said, I was working with this client of mine, and he's been going through a good growth period with his business, but it's been kind of tough for him because it's, you know, anybody who is an entrepreneur can understand what it's like to go through a growth period like that. I mean, a growth period sounds good and it is good, but they usually create all kinds of stresses because now you're inventing new processes on the fly, right? And you're trying to figure out how do we make this whole operation march without driving ourselves crazy and losing money in the process and all the other kind of stuff. And that's what he's going through right now. It's making it tough for him. And I've been trying to advise him on how to, you know, fine-tune certain things and, you know, basically change the way some of his workflow goes and so forth. But mainly, I've also been trying to encourage him to use some of the principles we talk about here on the podcast, specifically about getting into that, I don't call it the high vibration place. I mean, he's a business client, so I don't actually talk to him that way. But it's the same meaning. It's the same concept, getting into that good feeling place and then passing it along. And I had the insight last night to tell him, well, why not, you know, why not make a company policy that your upper level managers are going to tell all of your employees every day when they see them for the first time how much they appreciate each one of them so that every employee is getting all these good doses of we appreciate you, we think your work is good, you know, we're behind you, we're so glad you're on the team, that kind of thing. Because if they keep getting that over and over again, I mean, study after study has shown this. You don't have to be an LOA person. Study after study shows that when employees are appreciated, productivity goes through the roof. Mistakes plummet down to near zero. Companies that have been near bankruptcy turn themselves around. I mean, all kinds of wild and amazing things happen just from appreciating employees. And so I was actually talking to him about today. I think he bought into it. I think he's ready to implement it. So, you know, basically it's taking what we're talking about and applying it in the real world and hearing a guy who you know, may not have the same level of interest in law of attraction that we have, but he's willing to buy into it. That's so cool.
It is cool. And just to add to that, appreciation is not just in words. Everybody receives appreciation differently.
Yeah, that's true.
Some receive it through gifts.
Yep.
Some receive it through deeds. Mm-hmm. Some through words.
Yep.
I know for me, I have been appreciated verbally most of my life, and I almost don't hear it anymore.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I do if it's somebody specifically I'm looking for that from them, but I hear things like, oh, gosh, Wendy, I don't know what I'd do without you. I hope you never leave here. You know, you're the best. Oh, my gosh, you're fabulous. I hear that a lot. I mean, and I don't say
that's
to brag. I hear that a lot.
That's great, though.
And over the years, I came to recognize that I thought what I really wanted was appreciation. But I realized over time, it got me to where it definitely got me over a hump. So if you've not been appreciated at all, hearing it is just like, you know, a water to a desert plant, mm-hmm. you know. But over time, I realized there were deeper things that I desired.
Mm.
You know, I was desiring acknowledgement for my ingenuity, which is different to me than being appreciated verbally.
Why is that?
I wanted to acknowledge. Well, because if someone just says you're the best, okay, I'm the best at what?
Oh, I see, because it's more general.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm the best at. Now, if we just had an exchange, I know that what they're really saying to me is thank you for, you know, providing the information I needed.
Mm.
You know, but I'm a believer in very specific compliments. You know, so like I was on a webinar the other day. And one of the other participants, you know, okay, let me say this, that the webinar host was trying to make it interactive and said, you know, let me know your comments, your thoughts, you know, what do you think of this? And one person just kind of typed in, you know, oh, you're fabulous. And the host said, oh, thank you. And then someone else said, this is really great information. And she said, thank you. And I was wondering to myself, what was it specifically that this participant got that was so great? Not because I was trying to, you know, undermine the host, but it was like I was curious.
Yeah, sure.
Was it that last sentence that the webinar host said that really like moved the needle for them? And I like to know the specifics. Even my clients, if they tell me, wow, I'm getting so much from you, Wendy, you know, in the beginning I'll just say thank you and be gracious.
Oh, of course, yeah.
You know? But eventually I want to know what specifically are you taking away from our sessions? How is it changing your life? Because to me, that is something I truly appreciate. When I know I've been able to affect someone's life in a specific area, that to me is more meaningful than just, wow, I've loved you. You're a great coach, and I sure have enjoyed being, you know, your client. I don't know what to do with that. I mean, I do. I'm not trying to be difficult. And of course, I love compliments. I mean, who doesn't? But anyway, that was just to my point that, you know, people take compliments differently and people take appreciation differently.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a great point.
Go
ahead.
Well, I was going to say, I had a gal that I worked for, gosh, many, many years ago. And I remember every time we did a project together, we ended up shopping all the time for different things that we needed to create what we were working on. And oftentimes she would say, okay, we just finished such and such project. I'd like to give you a bonus. Is there anything in this place that we're at that really appeals to you that would make you happy as a gift to say thank you for our last project together? And I'm like, whoa, really? She goes, yeah, pick anything you want. And like, I have this really beautiful silk ficus plant. And that was one of the bonuses that I got from her. And after I picked out the plant, she said, well, you need it to go in something, pick a pot, pick something to put
nice.
It in.
Very good.
And I kept thinking, oh my gosh, this is too expensive. You know, because we were in a garden place and all the pots were really ornate and expensive. She says, no, I'm serious. Pick whatever you want, whatever makes you happy.
Nice.
And I was like, wow, now that's a cool, that to me is a cool way of saying thank you for a job well done. That was better than money. That was better than a thank you. That's a gift that literally I have some 30 years after the fact, and I'm still appreciating it.
That's good. Well, it's amazing, first of all, that the plant lasted that long.
But well, it's silk.
Oh, okay. but yeah, it's a great point. That specificity is always better. I don't think it really matters as much what the means is, but when you're specific about it, I agree. I think it's a lot more meaningful to know that, you know, yes, you were helpful to me, but you were really helpful to me in A, B, and C because it helped me to produce D, E, and F. That helps
right.
a lot more. That feels better. It feels like it isn't just a throwaway. That's the problem with a general compliment. There can be a little bit of a voice in the back of your head that says, is that just like a throwaway compliment? They're just being nice.
Well, I remember a long time ago, this wherever I learned this idea, I don't remember, but I remember a long time ago that if, let's say, I've given a presentation and somebody says to me afterwards, wow, that was a great presentation, thank you. And I walk away, I don't know what about my presentation I should continue because it was so awesome. Mm. And maybe there were some parts of my presentation that really could use some work, but I don't know because
it's too vague.
Somebody didn't bother to give me specific feedback. So
right.
people who I right. really trust that they can share that with me, I'll say, okay, tell me what about my presentation do you think was so good that you would love to see me repeat? And tell me what about my presentation could use some punching up, you know, or even just removing altogether. And when someone can do that for me, I consider that the ultimate gift.
It is. That is a big gift. No doubt. No doubt at all. Yeah, I agree with you. But it's been an interesting day, I have to say, experiencing how when you just share the basic concept of getting into that high-flying place, even though you don't call it that, even though you don't use the same kind of terminology we always talk about, just using terminology that's more common, and people going for it and agreeing to do it and then experiencing the benefit of it. Wow. I mean, I don't need to have feedback on that one. Just seeing that happen feels good. And that's what I was getting to see today. I mean, the progress has not yet completely been made. It was really just the initial first steps that were taken today, but they were really good first steps. And I came away from it just feeling like, yeah, this is going to happen. This is going to change. The shift is going to be there.
I mean, having somebody hear you, not just listen to the words, but like really hear you ingest the idea and commit to at least giving it a try. That feels great to know that you've been able to like get through to somebody and make that level of difference. I love that.
I love it too. I think it's the best. And the only thing I ever could think of to do to make it even better is to ask them just, you know, bring it up sooner rather than later, because we don't want to have to do this when you're in the most pain possible. We want to try to do it earlier in the process, wherever we can, right? Because that's a whole lot easier and you have a lot less momentum to overcome, right?
Now, overall, my day has been a lot of busy work.
Busy
I mean,
work.
It's important busy work because, yeah, it's part of my job, but I'm doing like just a lot of stuff. And that doesn't have as much feeling of productivity to me as when I do a big project. Like yesterday, it was my first day back and it was the end of the month for our business cycle. And so just cranking through all that, even though it might have seemed robotic, it's something that I'm an expert at. And it's something that I can do very quickly. And I was processing and it was fun. I love productivity of that nature, where today has been kind of stop and start and stop and start. And then I get a phone call and then, you know, somebody's asking me questions. And one of my calls happened to be somebody who loves to hear themselves talk.
Oh.
Or at least maybe that's not kind. They just communicate in a way that they use so many words, and then once they've made their point, they kind of say it again with a slightly different twist, but it's still kind of the same thing, you know, and I'm like, oh my goodness, kind of get to the point. And I didn't want to seem rude and go, come on, hurry up already, because it's still somebody new to the company and I'm wanting them to, you know, kind of get engaged. And so I was just kind of entertaining them, but the call went on for an hour and I was like, holy cow.
Yeah.
But I'm like, but I think that's what this person needed. That's what makes him happy. He seemed to be in, you know, having a good time. And finally I was really kind of pleased. The phone rang and I said, oh my gosh, it's my 11 o'clock. I really got to go. And he's like, oh, that's okay. Bye. And I was like, but that was fun. I mean, it was fun. And at the same time, I'm like, well, there's an hour. I'll make that up somewhere else.
Well, it's better than the way I was going to think of that. I was going to say, well, there's an hour I'll never get back.
No. I feel like even if I spend an hour where I'm not completely loving everything we're talking about, if I'm giving somebody my time and attention, I know I'm really giving them the greatest gift I can offer.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm like, I know he's truly appreciating it. Even if I'm a little bit bored, it's okay. Because I could have cut him off if I wanted to.
Oh, sure.
I have the ability to do so.
Yeah, you're quite good at it whenever you want to, I'm sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I really felt like he really wanted a listening ear, you know. And my work environment, you know, all the people I work with, we all work from our home office. And some people who come into the job, you know, they're used to working in an office where they're around people all the time.
Which is a different environment.
So people who are talkers really get their needs met in an office where there's lots of people.
Right.
But then when they come into an environment where they're working from their home office and they don't have anyone to talk to, sometimes it's hard on them.
Sure.
You know? So when he reached out today, I thought, I will give him the gift of my time and my attention, you know, and I know he appreciated it. And so that's good.
That's good. I can't say that my day was full of little arcane stuff like that. My day was basically with my wife's business doing her payroll, and that was my day. It's not the most fun thing to do in the world, and it takes a lot of attention to detail, but it got done, and it got done right, and that's the main thing. But it wasn't arcane details. It was pretty important details.
I used to love to do payroll.
Did you really?
I'm a crazy person, but yeah, I love doing payroll. That was fun for me.
You want a job? No, I'm sorry.
Well, when I had my own company and I was doing payroll, I mean, there were maybe only 6 or 7 people on the payroll, so it wasn't like huge. But it brought me back to like days when I used to work in a corporate environment, and I used to beg the accounting manager to let me work in his, I wanted to sit there with an adding machine, and this is the day of manual adding up time cards, you know, and he's like, Wendy, I already have somebody who does that. And I'm like, well, can I be a backup? I just want to do it. And he's like, I don't really need you. And I'm like, please. I love handling anything that has to do with money. Money is just a fun game for me.
Okay. Hey, that works. I can't say it's unfamiliar because you do a lot of that kind of, well, not so much anymore, perhaps. But back in the day, you did a lot of that as a bank teller. And I was a bank teller for a number of years early in my life. And you wanted to be in banking.
Yeah,
that's right. I remember that. Yes. Oh, that's funny.
Let me just, you know, I like to be the banker when I play Monopoly. You know, I'd like to play with money.
Oh, that is fine.
And then, you know, in a more mature way, I went from Monopoly to Robert Kiyosaki's game called Cash Flow. And that also, you have to be, you know, there's a banker. And I just love it. But that kind of, in Cash Flow, there's not real cash. You work with a balance sheet.
Right.
So every player gets a calculator and you have a giant eraser. I provide giant erasers because there's lots of, every time you take a new turn and you buy a new piece of real estate or buy some stocks or whatever, you're having to adjust your balance sheet. It's like, ooh, this is fun.
Yeah, you're definitely one of the mentally ill ones, no doubt about it.
Thank you.
I'm just teasing you. I'm just teasing.
Oh, I take that as a compliment.
Oh, okay.
I would rather be good at something that most people don't like, because then that means that I am in more need. More people want what I have.
This is
because
true.
Because they don't want to do it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I do.
You know, we make, as a culture, we make lots of jokes about accountants, right? Bean counters and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But to be perfectly honest, most accountants love their work. They just really live for it. So I imagine if you were to like take a survey of accountants, you'd probably find very high percentages who would express the same kind of views you're expressing, how much they love doing that stuff. They love toting things up and so forth. It's just fun.
Well, and you... And my knowledge base is minimal in terms of I can handle a budget for one or for a family or a small business. But, you know, interesting that you mentioned accountants, because I have a great awareness that as far as where I know I'm going financially in mm-hmm. both my business ventures and my personal expenses, et cetera, I'm going to be playing in a much bigger arena.
Oh, yeah.
I opened up some tax stuff. I pulled a tax form. I don't know what exactly. I went to the IRS.gov site mm-hmm. and I was pulling tax tables and different things. And I was playing with, okay, so if I make $250,000 a year, what's my take home? If I make $500,000 a year, what's my take home? Mm-hmm. When I make $1 million a year, what's my take home? And then I'm like, okay. And then I calculated what my Social Security tax would be. Then I started looking up what are the kinds of legal investments that the rich people make. I already know somebody I want to bring on as an employee. And I told this person, I said, I'll pay you X amount for a salary and I will also pay your insurance. And so I was looking at, you know, health insurance for two people.
Sure.
And I was looking at all sorts of stuff. And I got to tell you, that's fun to me, because as I'm doing it, I know I'm expanding my business. I know I'm expanding everything because I'm thinking about it. And as I'm thinking about it, I'm having fun. And remember, you know, Sunday I was, you know, incubating my dreams of where I'm going to go. And instead of this business idea that I've had on the back burner thinking, oh gosh, it'll take so much capital, who knows when I can get there, it's like I'm starting to look at how soon can we get that started? You
yep.
know, and even though I bought a URL for that business a long time ago, I'm like, you know what? I think I've outgrown that URL. That's not even who I am. And I've already come up with a new one. So I haven't checked to see if the URL is available, but, you know, I'm ready. It's like, it's fun to dream.
Well, that's just it. As long as it's fun. I mean, and you're describing it like it's a lot of fun. As long as it's fun, then you're right. I mean, how can that not be supportive to attracting your dream?
And I somehow do it through the money aspect. I love to figure out how the money's going to flow in, and or what kind of money do I want, or how do I want what? Just I just play with money. Mm. I don't know how else to say it. You know, I just envisioned huge sums of money, and I don't remember if I said this on the show the other day, but one of the things I got was, I will be making more money than I will ever know how to spend.
Oh, that's a nice one. I like that.
And I went, whoa, for real?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's like more money will be coming into me than I'll ever know how to spend. And I, honestly, Walt, I can't remember if what I read on this one Facebook post is part of the same group you and I both read every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a statement someone posted and it went something like, I don't spend, and spend was in capital. I don't spend money. I recirculate in capital money. So the
okay.
money that goes okay. out comes right back in, and but always more comes in than goes out. And I went, oh, yeah. Oh, totally. So it's like I just keep thinking. I keep seeing the visual of that post where I see the word spend and recirculate in caps. Everything else in lowercase. I don't spend money. I recirculate it. That has such a feeling of not lack. It's total abundance. It's like the money keeps coming back in. It just keeps rolling back in. It's like, I like that.
That sounds good.
And that kind of, it fits with one of the affirmations that came to me a while back, which is I can spend money on anything I want because the money keeps rolling in.
Mm.
I can buy anything I want because the money keeps rolling in.
That's good.
That's like the epitome of recirculating.
Oh yeah,
money.
It's also the epitome of a great. It's a great attitude because once your attitude manifests, you basically never fear a lack of money ever again because. Anything like that that manifests, it's going to manifest similar to what you described, which is more money's coming in than is going out, no matter what. Well, that feels good. That, they call that making money, right?
Well, and you know, here's something I find kind of interesting as I'm, you know, plotting and planning to exit my day job. You know, I know the money that I make there. I know the money that I'm now making with private clients. And it's kind of interesting, especially because I was off last week from my day job, but payday was last Tuesday. And so to me, it's kind of fun to like receive money when I'm on vacation from the job because it feels like it came from just an unknown source, if that makes sense.
Okay.
It's like when I'm working at the job and I know that it's payday and I'm working on that day, somehow the payday check goes with working. But when I'm not working and I know I'm getting paid to not work and I get a paycheck, that just seems like, wow, money's just flowing from heaven. That's
well,
what it feels
I can kind me. Of, I can identify with that to an extent. I mean, I think about it differently, but one of my early businesses was selling long distance services back when long distance was important. Today, of course, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans, but you know, 20 years ago, it was actually a fairly important thing. And I had an online business. I had one of the few online businesses that was selling long distance service. Well, that creates residual income. It's a steady income that you get a commission on whatever they were using for their long distance. Well, that's a nice thing because when you have that residual income, you go out for lunch or something and you smile across at your wife. You say, I'm making money while we're having lunch. You know, you do things like that because it feels good.
Well, and so to kind of add to that, I didn't think about this. I was feeling it during the week, but I didn't know how to articulate it. And now I feel like I'm ready to talk about it for my own self, if not for everybody else's benefit.
Okay.
But I'm noticing how when I get paid for my day job, that doesn't, like, I don't associate that anymore with the physical work that I do at my day job. It's kind of like the paycheck is separate from the job. It's just twice a month I get money into my checking account. Okay. And I don't think about it anymore as associated with my day job. Well, because that's the case, when I think about money, I just think about money continually flows into my checking account. But I'm not thinking about what the source of the income is. I'm thinking, and this is the distinction, I now recognize it as income that just shows up in my checking account.
That's
just like
place.
When I have a client and they pay me by credit card, it goes through a merchant account. And then the merchant account, you know, they batch out at the end of the night. And then a couple days later, it shows up in my checking account. And so it's like the work I do with my clients feels separate from the money that I actually receive from them. Because since I do phone sessions, I'm not physically seeing them. How they pay me is I send them an email with a link. And so I don't watch them pay me.
Right.
I just know they do because I receive an email saying so-and-so has paid you X amount of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of, it feels disjointed, if you will, from the actual work that I do. It's not like the old days where you stood there with a cash register and you received income, you received money, cash in hand for services rendered.
Mm.
It just feels separate. And even with, you know, direct deposit from my day job, it kind of is starting to feel separate. Now, here's the reason why I think that's so significant to me is because regardless if I have my day job or not, I have now been focusing on how money just shows up in my checking account.
Yeah, I can see that.
I don't see who puts it there. There's some banking institutions that are changing hands, but money just keeps showing up in my checking account and my checking account balance grows.
And that's a nice affirmation to have, even if you don't plan it to be an affirmation, because it happens to be true. So you're not going to have any trouble with belief in it.
Exactly. And that is my point. I've been noticing over time how the money that comes into my checking account is not attached to any specific job or service that I provide. Money just keeps showing up. Money just keeps showing up. And so a long time ago, I heard Abraham talking about, well, they were talking with somebody in the hot seat who was saying that they really wanted to get a new job, but they weren't willing to like just quit their job. And they were afraid, what if they did quit the job? Because they didn't want to, but what if they did? And there were just all these questions in their mind. And the person was like, and I'm thinking I'd like to go to a, like a different industry, and I'll probably have to start at the bottom, you know, which means that my income will now suffer because I'll get less money than what I was making at this other thing where I was already at like the top of the industry. And Abraham was saying, you know, wherever your vibrational essence is with money is what you take with you wherever you go. And specifically, they were saying, so let's say you are at ABC Corporation and you're making lots of money there and you decide to change industries and you go to XYZ company. And XYZ company isn't paying much. Well, in a very short period of time, you may start at the bottom, but somehow something, whether it's through XYZ company or some other financial resource, will show up for you. Because wherever your vibrational money belief system is, that's what you take with you. And you will always buoy up or down according to where your belief system is.
It's true. And I've also found it to be annoying.
Well, do you want to talk about the true part first and then go to the annoyance or the other way around?
Well, actually, they kind of go together. If you're... It's true, whether, like you said, it can be either up or down. And if your focus is a lack-based focus, then it just continues to spiral that way along the same lines you were talking. Just as it spirals upward when you have the focus on it, just keeps flowing into my account, just keeps flowing into my account. You know, they both facts happen to produce similar stuff like them because of the law of attraction. And that's what I was noticing. I've experienced it both ways.
And two examples that can reflect each of these. So if you have somebody, let's say, that has been living paycheck to paycheck and is in debt up to their eyeballs.
Mm-hmm.
They've maxed out all their credit cards. You know, they're 2 months behind on their rent. Their car is falling apart and it's being held together by duct tape.
Right.
And this person buys a lottery ticket and wins. Now, first of all, I don't even know how that person wins a lottery ticket, but somehow they do.
I'm wondering about and that so one, they, but yeah, we'll just let that one slide.
But I know what happens. So they get a huge sum of money, but because they have been in the vibrational essence of lack for so long that when they win, let's say $10 million, they start spending it because that's what they do. They don't know what to do with it. Mm. And within probably 2 to 3 to 5 years, they're broke again.
Yeah.
And there are more lottery winner stories like that than there are the flip side.
Mm.
And that absolutely mirrors because the vibration based on their beliefs and their chronic thoughts about money is that they never have enough. So even if they receive $10 million, they will find a way to run out of it so they can get back to, I don't have enough. Now, on the flip side, if you have, you know, some very successful business person who, you know, they start a business and they build incredible assets and then they sell it for huge sums of money and they keep doing this and it's like they're just used to rolling in the dough. Well, let's say some kind of economic downturn hits, you know, and they lose everything. Well, that kind of person will take the same skills that they use to build it up, their other wealth up to begin with, and they'll do it again, and they'll end up probably being even wealthier.
And they'll probably do it faster too.
And faster, because, you know, it takes a long time to learn the skills that you have, but once you have them, you can turn them around and make it happen. And That's kind of the idea of wherever your vibrational belief system is about money, whether it's lack or abundant, is what follows you everywhere you go with everything you do. And so if you have a wealthy mindset and you lose everything, because that can happen, you know, your thoughts can dip one day or over, there could be some specific thing that causes you to lose it all, but you know what? You'll get it all back. And the person who has nothing and lives in the chronicness of lack, they can get a windfall, they can get an inheritance, and then lose it all again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, and that's just kind of the way it works.
You mentioned that the person who wins the lottery or gets the big inheritance, who has a mentality of lack, and you raise the question, how do they do it? And you say, well, I don't really want to get into it. And I don't blame you, because that's pretty much a conundrum. But I did have, I guess, kind of an insight about that. A thought came to me, and it seems to me anyway, likely to be the ultimate answer in most cases, maybe not all cases like this. And that is, I can't remember exactly how Abraham says it, but passion trumps belief. So if your belief is weak, but your passion for it is just overwhelmingly strong, you'll attract it anyway. Just because you're just so, you know, you're just so much into it, you'll attract it. It may not be a healthy mm-hmm. attraction, but you'll attract it. And that's the way I can see somebody winning a lottery. Because I can see somebody for a short period of time just like doing this burst of passion, like, I got to win this thing. I'm going to win this thing. And then they win it and they fall back on their old pattern.
Exactly. And I remember a business mentor many years ago saying to me, long before you have your wealth, plan for how you're going to manage your wealth.
Hmm.
And I was like, wow, that's smart. And that's honestly, that's kind of where I am right now. Because this all started because you were talking about an accountant.
Right.
And I've been thinking, okay, I don't have to know the accountant to help me today. But I know that somebody I know will probably know the person that is an accountant that can help me structure and manage my funds, my real estate holdings. I don't have them yet, by the way, but my real estate holdings, you know, my stock portfolio, of which it's very small, but I expect it to grow very large. But somebody who can help me, you know, figure out all the tax ramifications of all these different investments and assets that I plan on having,
mm-hmm, yeah,
so that I can pay the least amount of tax and I can hold the most amount so that I can allow it to grow so that I can do really cool things with it. And, oh, that reminds me, there was something someone said recently, something like, I don't work to get money. Oh, that's what it is. I get money so that I can build new businesses. Mm-hmm. So I don't build a business so that I can make a lot of money. I make a lot of money so I can build new businesses.
Yeah. Interesting way to look at it.
And that really is how I think, because the money is just a part of it,
mm-hmm.
a part of the process. It's a part of the results, but I'm seeing it in the recirculation piece. You need money to build something and then you gain money because of the thing you've built. And now you can build something bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is very exciting because that's about continual expansion.
Right.
You know, because I've never wanted money just for the sake of money. You know, I didn't think the smell of money was so awesome that I wanted to like have money fragrance candles or anything.
you don't want the smell of green ink? I mean, come on.
Well, and the way we live today with money, we rarely ever even see money.
That's true.
You know? It's so digital, which I totally work with digital because I've always been a spreadsheet gal and a, you know, checkbook register person. So it didn't matter if I saw the money or not.
Louise and I were down at the coast about a week and a half ago. When we went out for dinner, I think I told you about it. We went down to the coast and the Coast Guard house and had a great dinner and so forth. After that, we decided to go out for ice cream. And there's one really good ice cream parlor just down the road from there that we know about. It's right near where a friend of hers lives. And so we decided to go there for ice cream. And we'd forgotten that it's kind of an old-fashioned place. They only take cash or checks. They don't take any credit cards or digital or anything like that.
Uh-oh.
And so I was like, do you have any cash? I don't know. Let me look. I haven't looked at my wallet in months. I don't know what's in there. Fortunately, I had enough cash to cover it. But, I mean, that just shows how little I use cash. I had no idea how much cash I had.
You know, I was at a fast food place a couple weeks ago and I had a coupon, and that was the specific reason I went there, was to use this coupon. And So when they told me the amount of money that I owed them, I said, that seems too much. Can I look at the receipt? And I said, you didn't adjust the coupon correctly. And they spoke in Spanish. And so I know they spoke English too, but the guy who was helping me went and got a supervisor and they were talking in Spanish back and forth. So I had no idea what they were really saying. But the supervisor just said, no, it's correct. And I said, no, it's not. And she'd say, no, it's right. We took the coupon off. And I said, you took off a discount, but not the correct amount. And I told her the correct amount, you should have reduced it by $2.29. But you only reduced it by $1.49. I mean, come on, people. Math is my thing. I love numbers, right? And so it wasn't the end of the world. And I'm thinking, oh, God, I feel bad because it's a drive through and I'm holding up the line and it's all for 80 cents plus tax, you know? But at this point, it's now the principle of it.
Oh, it couldn't be anything else.
Of course not. So here's the funny thing. I have the expectation that once she figures it out, she'll just put an 86-cent credit on my credit card because I paid for it with a credit card. No, she pulls money out of the cash register and hands me 86 cents. And so I thanked her and I left. And this is so stupid. I went, what the heck am I going to do with 86 cents? I don't even know what to do with money that's in changed form. Because to me, change makes my purse weigh more. So I don't want that as I, you know, carry my shoulder purse around. It's like, so I purposely don't carry change. I have this teeny itty bitty change container I have at home. And the last time it was here, it was spilling over and my little sister laughed at me and I said, here, take these 20 pennies. I don't want them and they're taking up too much space. She went, really? I can just have them? And I went, yeah, go ahead and take my 20 pennies. To her, it was so wonderful. It was found money. And I was like, oh, thank goodness. It's just taking up space. But that's how much, and trust me, I don't disrespect money, but that's how much I don't use change anymore. And when it comes to cash, I do now carry cash in my wallet, but it's kind of buried because I don't even carry a wallet anymore. I carry a purse and I just put some, you know, cash in the zipper section. But it's just so funny how we have adapted to a digital world.
Oh, yeah. No, it's true. I think it's especially funny that in a sense, your story there about the 86 cents illustrates beautifully the cliche, be careful what you ask for, what you wish for. You wished for them. Look, you gotta get this discount right. And then you got the discount. Now what am I going to do with it?
Yeah, I'm like, this isn't the way I wanted it. I wanted it to come back on my credit card.
That is funny. That's really funny.
But see, now I was at Kroger the other day. That's a grocery store. And I showed them how they had overcharged me literally $20. And so they totally agreed. I said, yep. And she said, you want me to put it back on your credit card? I'm like, yes, please. See, and now that felt like it wasn't a gift card. But in my mind, now when I went grocery shopping, I went, oh, I have 20 extra dollars because it just got put back on my card. You know, we all have our own ways to interpret how we see money. And I'm sure there are as many different ways of playing with money as there are people. But to me, money is a game and it's all fun and it makes me laugh and it gets me excited. And I love to think about, you know, having a checkbook register or I don't know, what do you do when you don't use a checkbook anymore? I guess you have a ledger.
I don't even use Ledger. I mean, I use like a computer program. I have an old version of Quicken. I just use that. I don't even use a Ledger.
So how do you know how much money you have in your checking account?
I look in Quicken.
Look on the online statement?
No, I look in Quicken.
Oh.
I look in my accounting software.
But is your accounting software connected to your checking account?
Actually, my version of Quicken is so old that it was before they even knew how to connect to a checking account online.
Well, I like to go online and just pull up my balance and go, ooh, I like that.
That's all right. That's
or, oh, look at that. I got another deposit.
Yeah, look, more money flowed in. This is great.
I did. I had that happen a couple of weeks ago. I went, why is my checkbook? Because I was balancing my checkbook register to my online balance. And I went, how come my online balance has like about $1,000 more than what I have? And I looked and I figured out and went, oh, okay, I know where that came from. But yeah, it's one of those things where I'm not even thinking about the services that I provide being connected to money that just shows up in my checking account. It's like magic. It just shows up.
It actually like, sounds like The Secret, because that's the way they present it in The Secret, the movie, right? This money just comes in. I just get checks in the mail. I get some bills, but I get mostly checks in the mail. That was the main thing. And and they don't specify where the checks come from. They don't specify how it was earned or whether it was earned or anything. Just checks come in the mail. Well, that's what you're describing.
I just had this wonderful illustration come to mind of how a child could look upon money in our current day society of how we do money. So kids are very computer savvy. And let's say I'm a mom of a little kid and I'll say, go check out what my checking account balance is. And they might look at it and they'll go, hey, mommy, there's X amount of dollars in here. They don't know how the money got there.
No, that's true.
They just know that there's big dollars in there. And they don't, unless you teach them, they don't connect what mommy does for a living and how the money is direct deposited into the account versus the money's just in the account.
Mm. Well, there's a story like that my wife tells from when our nephews, who are in their 20s now, were little kids. They were out one time with their mom, and I don't remember exactly what the details were, but there was some place where the two boys saw something they wanted to buy. And Joyce said, well, we really don't have the money for it. And one of the boys says, well, that's easy. Just go to the wall, mommy.
Exactly. An ATM machine.
There it is.
Just go to the wall. See, that's how kids think. It's all magical to them. Mm. They don't associate what it takes to get the money in the wall.
That's right.
I love that. And really, that's kind of the idea that came to me, is if we have the innocence of a child, where we don't know how it gets there, we just know it's there. That's a lovely way to focus on money in a bank account. It just shows up.
Now, of course, you do have to be able to see that from an abundance point of view rather than a lack point of view, because it would be very easy to try to do that from a lack point of view and get absolutely nowhere.
Well, I suppose if you've been with your mom and every time the mom went to the ATM machine and there you are as a kid watching and it says, sorry, there's no money in here, then that would definitely create a lack mentality.
Yeah,
like
that would
money
be one
doesn't
way to do
come
it.
Out of the wall.
Right. Yeah.
versus if it's a mom who only goes when there's money available and the kid sees that they hit, like fast cash $200, it's like, there's a lot of money in there. And whatever you need it, you just press those buttons. You need this little card, you swipe, and then you press the button.
Boom.
Cool. And actually, I was at my bank the other day getting cash. And it's funny, I go through the ATM machine to get cash. Then I go through the drive-thru to ask them to break the 20s into 10s. Mm-hmm. And so the teller said to me after she was done, she said, oh, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Miss Dillard, but she said on the ATMs, you can now use, Samsung Pay, or there was something else if it's an iPhone. And she said, where you don't even have to swipe your debit card anymore. You can just, it's kind of like a QR reader.
Mm-hmm.
It just reads it from your phone and it knows who you are. And then you can do your banking that way. And it was like, holy cow, we're not even going to be using cards after a while. Everything's going to be our cell phone.
I have to tell you though, I'd be a little nervous about that because.
Well, I'm not ready to do it. I just thought it was interesting. Well, I'm usually not a first adopter.
Only because I know how easy it is, not so much with an iPhone, but with an Android to break into a phone. So, especially if you don't have a password on your phone. If you don't have a password on your phone, hey, all somebody has to do is grab your phone and they got access to your cash. So you have to already have security somewhere in some other form in order to protect yourself from going up to the ATM, flashing the phone in front of the ATM, and it gives you money.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. When I got my new cell phone a month or so ago, the guy said, well, the new Samsung 9 has an iris scan. Would you like to set up your password as an iris scan? And I said, I don't know. Do I? And he said, well, like you were on a Samsung 4 where you didn't even have to have a password. And I said, and I didn't. He said, now due to security regulations, the new phones have to have security, but you can do it with an iris scan. And if that fails, then you can do it with a password. And I went, oh, cool. Let's just do it for fun. So now I'm thinking, I hope it doesn't burn out my retinas.
Yeah, that would be devastating.
I do feel very Star Trek-y, you know, when I open up my phone and I like hold it out so that it can read my eyes. And I'm like, that's just so wild. That's so, I mean, futuristic. And oh, gosh, guess what? It's not the future anymore.
Yeah, it's here.
It's the here and now. It's the present. It's like,
all we really need that at this point is for, you know, the units of currency to be called credits, and then it'll be total Star Trek, because that's what they call it in Star Trek, right? They call them credits.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, to me, I think of all money as credits and debits, because I look at everything online, and there's a credit in the debit column.
That's true. Well, that's how an accountant thinks about it, speaking of accountants.
Yes. So we're getting close to that. So anybody who knows, or if you're listening and you're an accountant and you are an absolute marvel at doing all sorts of financial planning and managing money so that the least amount of taxes are paid, call me.
I have a feeling Wendy's phone is about to start ringing.
I don't mind.
You know, of course, Mike Dooley started his career as an accountant.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Mike Dooley was a CPA. And the funny thing was, he was a CPA, but he also started that t-shirt business with his mom and his brother. And that lasted for a while. And then that eventually the demand, I'm not sure exactly what happened, but their demand dried up. And so they basically liquidated the business. And, you know, they each had some cash to hold them over for a while. But now he had to decide what to do next. And he went out again. He said, well, I guess I'll get a job as an accountant because that's what I am. And he couldn't get a job. I mean, he used to work for, what's the big accounting firm? I can't think what their name is. But he worked
Ernst
for the...
Ernst & Young?
Which one?
Ernst & Young?
No. The Price Waterhouse. He used to work for Price Waterhouse. And he went back to them. They wouldn't give him a job. He couldn't find anybody to give him a job as a CPA, which is really wild. And then that's when he decided to just start putting out his little email, basically... because he had been kind of exploring the world within and coming to some conclusions about how things work and so forth. And ultimately that led him to being on The Secret, and he launched this huge career. But it all started with him as an accountant who couldn't get a job.
Wow.
Pretty
amazing. It is amazing the things that take us from where we are to where we eventually go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had this overwhelming thought for a while now, because I have purchased so many people's different courses on different kinds of business creation. I've learned all sorts of different systems. And what I'm most fascinated by is, you know, the way they all present it. And there's even a course on how to present it. So everybody talks about their story. Everybody talks about where they came from and what caused them to go in this direction, and then how their system rolled out. And what I find interesting is I spent my life trying to replicate how other people got their success.
Yeah.
But what I realize is nobody can really replicate anybody else's success
exactly
in the same way, because we all have a different story.
That's right.
We all have different motives. We all have different desires, beliefs, filters, experiences, etc. Yeah. And so here Mike Dooley, you know, has become kind of this, just to put him in a something, you know, in a bucket, personal development teacher extraordinaire.
Mm.
So let's say another person wants to be similar to Mike Dooley and be in that same personal development space. Well, they can't just become a Mike Dooley, because Mike Dooley started out as an accountant and then he went on to something else, and then he tried to go back and it didn't work, and so then he had failure or contrast, and then it caused him to think up new ideas. And so it's like we all go about it differently.
Yeah.
And as I've been, you know, working with my Project X and wanting to create, you know, new financial structures for my life and new career, I have finally given up the notion that I need to follow somebody else's life pattern for me to get what it is I desire. I mean, it's not like I am void of life experiences or my own beliefs or filters or thoughts, etc. It's like, oh no, I've got plenty of them. And that's what's helping to make up where I'm going. And I can, like, if somebody says to me, once I'm on the other side and I'm highly successful and I'm recirculating so much money that I can never spend all of my riches and wealth, and they'll say, well, how did you get there? Well, I'd say I lived my life. I followed my guidance. I followed my passions. I followed whatever came to mind. And when I tripped and stumbled and it didn't work for me, I got up and went, well, what's next? Because it's going to look different for me than it looks for anybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, I finally get that.
That's a great insight. And it's true. And it's why when somebody like you, I mean, you're, among other things, you're going to be coaching people financially because you're going to get some clients who want that kind of help. You're going to get other people who want to be coached on relationships and still others who want to be coached on health and, you know, a whole wide range of things. But some of them are going to want some ideas on how to improve their financial situation or straighten things out or whatever it might be. And that's part of what makes what you do such an important art form, because you're a quantum leap coach. But you are, right? Yeah. I mean, that's part of the way you position yourself. But you're also a coach who understands that you have to match up with what that particular client's life experience is leading them to. And that's an art form. That's not something you can just pick out of a textbook.
Well, and you know, for a very long time, I have beaten myself up emotionally because I haven't created a program. Or I haven't, you know, created a workbook or something like, you know, here's 6 video modules on how to use law of attraction in a way that will help develop success in your life. And I have to say, as much as I know how to do it, as much as I believe I have the content to do it, that doesn't feel like my calling, at least not today. It could somewhere down the road, mm-hmm. but for where I am right now, it feels absolute best to customize everything I do for every individual person I work with. And people will say, yeah, but you realize you can make more money if you create a program once and then you sell it and you don't have to be there. It's kind of like you can be at the grocery store and you're making money, or you can be sitting eating ice cream and you're making money because other people are buying your products online. Yes, I understand that model. It's very successful for a lot of people. It just doesn't feel like something I want to do. And where I've beaten myself up, I've gone, well, Wendy, you're leaving money on the table. I'm like, well, money drops from heaven. It just keeps showing up in my checking account. I can't be doing something wrong if money keeps showing up. But it's like, that's just not my thing right now. And I'm always willing to change my mind. But I also believe in line up with whatever decision I decide to make. And that one just doesn't feel really yummy, yummy to me. And when it does, or if it does, then I'll go that direction. But right now, it's like I have such a belief that people are so unique that if they want a cookie cutter program, there's so many other people out there that have great programs. I don't want to add to the noise of the marketplace and add just one more.
Well, good for you. That's good.
You know? My uniqueness is I customize everything. I want to have a conversation with people and find out what they're thinking and what they're doing, and then apply whatever seems appropriate for them. My model.
That's good. Go ahead. That's a good model. All I was going to say is I just have one problem left to figure out, and that is what to call this episode, because I have no idea what the topic has been, and we've used up an hour. But maybe I'll call it accounting for the law of attraction, for lack of a better title. I don't know what to call it, but it's been good. I've been enjoying it.
And you know, it started with you talking about your client and how
right. You
wanted to offer them the idea of appreciating people on a regular basis. That's where we started.
There it is. Accounting for appreciation. I love it. Now I have my title.
Okay, perfect.
Wendy, it's been
really
a pleasure.
Okay.
And sorry,
it was our stream of consciousness show.
It was our stream of consciousness.
We'll talk to everybody again tomorrow.
Absolutely. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye now.